Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Welcome back to the Sweaters Forever podcast here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm Shippy from the KNC Masterpiece. You can follow me on Twitter at Shippy Fun Sports. And my co-host here, Gavin Spittle, the Hockey Hawk at GJ Spittle today. How you doing today, Hawk, on this nice Valentine's Day?
Oh, yeah.
A little Valentine's recording of the Sweaters Forever podcast.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Happy Valentine's Day. Big stick tap for last night's performance.
Yeah, absolutely. Big win over the Maple Leafs. And by the way, if you're looking for some plans this weekend, I highly recommend the Choctaw Casino and Resort. The Sweaters Forever podcast brought to you by Choctaw Casino and Resort. Welcome to Choctaw Casino and Resort Durant, the ultimate destination for exciting gaming, or destination for exciting gaming and live entertainment, exclusively for everyone. Maybe go win a little bit of money.
Man, that's a great weekend destination.
Yeah. It's such a quick trip. You can even just do it like one night if you want to, or spend a whole weekend.
Yeah, they have some great places to do dinner. If you want to take your significant other up there, do a little gambling, and you can also just walk around. That's one of the coolest things about Choctaw. Uh-huh. There's so many things to do other than they have some great bars. It's a cool place, you know, and they just keep it in such spectacular condition. Mm-hmm. A lot of renovations going on, like new towers and stuff like that. It's just a real cool place to be.
And hey, if you're like me and you're single, you can just go up there to celebrate the fact that Tyler Seguin finally got a goal last night.
Yeah.
He put one in the net. It was a yawning net. And if he would have missed that one and not ended his 17-game goal streak, honestly, he might have just retired, like right there in Toronto. You know, he's near his hometown. He just, you know, hey, it's been great. You know, won a Stanley Cup at a super young age and then just kind of ride off into the sunset. But fortunately, he was able to put it in the net. You know, puck luck couldn't get him or anything like that, or a miraculous save. And Tyler Seguin, who was surprised, it had been 2 months since he'd scored.
Yeah, and it kind of overshadowed Jason Robertson's first ever NHL point.
Yeah, it really did.
You know, kind of putting it in front of the net in his first NHL game. And, you know, Robertson was saying after the game, you know, he went into for the hugs. And, you know, that's kind of when he realized Seguin was in a drought. He didn't even know. I mean, he's been down in Texas, and his story yesterday, Texas was playing Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning, he drove with the team on the team bus to Chicago. Flight was delayed. Got into Toronto about 1:30. Played the night prior in Milwaukee.
Gosh.
So played, took a three-hour bus ride. Then flight got delayed. And then flew up to Toronto in team meetings, suits up, and gets his first ever NHL point in front of his parents, basically in his hometown.
Which, yeah, really, really cool. And it's, you know, it's interesting that he was on the ice in that moment, you know, that Rick Bonus kind of had that much trust in him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that he found himself in the ice in a pivotal moment of the game. So, and I thought it was interesting, too. Did you see all three of the Stars' goals were scored in the first 2 minutes of each period?
Yeah.
Now, which is really weird because as a Stars fan this season and in previous seasons, you're used to normally seeing the Stars give up that goal.
Right. And that's where you get the Derek Lakstahl in. Taking care of the power play unit, mm-hmm. and saying, hey, here's a guy down in Texas I trust.
Yeah.
Power play is struggling. You know, we need a guy with Radulov out. Let's bring out Robertson. So I think, it panned out. The other thing to point out, which is so awesome about the win last night, you know, yeah, these guys make millions and millions of dollars, but don't think Tyler Seguin doesn't have a little hop in his step when he steps on the ice in Toronto.
Yeah.
Don't think Jamie Oleksiak's adrenaline wasn't flowing a little bit more when he dropped the mitts last night.
And the rest of the team, too. That's like I feel like the mecca of hockey.
It is the mecca of hockey. Absolutely. You're playing the New York Yankees. You're playing the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, you got to get up for these games. So in front of a huge, now, you know, it's not just the guys from Toronto, it's inevitably featured across Canada. So, you know, that's your chance where your friends and family and everyone sees you on the ice. I mean, your close friends and family usually have the NHL package with, you know, modern technology nowadays. But, you know, basically you're on national TV, national radio. So it's like a it's a big thing. And the Stars tomorrow night will be featured as one of the games on Hockey Night in Canada.
Yes.
That has not happened frequently. So I think it's awesome for the Canadian audience. I'm sure some of the Stars will be interviewed heading into the game. They usually do that. And, you know, they're playing a Montreal team that's fighting, you know, to try to stay off, stay in the playoff hunt.
Yeah,
you know?
Just lost Shea Weber.
They lost Shea Weber. And
for
that
4 to 6 weeks, I believe.
Yeah, that might be the determining factor, whether they're buyers or sellers. So it was a great win. This is a tough road trip. Because that third game on Sunday, they struggle against Ottawa. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's just matchups.
And that could just be a trap game.
Right, exactly.
And Buffalo is one of those squads that they've had trouble with.
Exactly.
This year.
And you know what? Carolina was, too.
Yeah. Which
thing, until the other night.
Yeah, that's an impressive performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jamie Benn hat-trick.
Carolina is a rough matchup for this Stars team, and they were being outscored in the last three games by Carolina big time.
Yeah.
But Carolina was coming off a six-game road trip. That was their last game. They were successful, but you could see they had some tired legs. They really didn't want to exert that physicality. So, I mean, I think it's a big win, you know, for the Stars. Then going on this road trip, picking up points in Toronto. Colorado loses last night. So, you know, things are looking really, really good. And, yeah, breaking that trend of falling behind early, actually getting up a goal.
So weird.
And then never relinquishing the lead. And almost tying it up in the final minutes, but Big Ben Bishop came up big. I mean, when Toronto turns it on, maybe Washington, but
Edmonton,
but there's not much better. I mean, that firepower and it's the way
crazy.
They crashed that net. I mean, Austin Matthews last night was spectacular.
Yeah.
He is just so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, Toronto's fighting for a playoff spot. Florida lost last night, too. So, but they're neck and neck. So, I mean, that was a big game for Toronto. And the Stars went in and took one in their barn. You know, that's what Toronto did earlier this year. So, you know, pretty interesting. And I don't know. I'm just talking on and on, Shippy. But I just feel
there's a lot of good stuff going
there
on.
There is, man. I mean,
Jamie Benn even got a hat trick tonight. They gave out free hats.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because that's always been my thing is like if I see a hat trick, if it's a hat that I paid like $40 for, I'm not throwing it on the ice.
No.
But if he's a free hat,
tossing it. Yeah.
You know, I'll probably just leave that in my truck or something anyway.
Plus, I hate to be that person, especially if I'm with someone of a female persuasion and I toss one and it doesn't make it onto the ice.
Oh, yeah.
That's a rough one.
Yeah, so you got to go with like the Frisbee strategy.
Yeah, you got to go with the Frisbee. Yeah.
You got to go with the Frisbee strategy. I think that would work.
Yeah.
I think that would work pretty well.
Yeah, but also want to mention Denis Gurianov.
Oh, my gosh.
Just continues to get it done. The confidence is sky high. The one-timer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, popping that water bottle in the week. I mean, you know.
And even going, I mean, you could tell that Frederik Andersen, the five hole, was working for the Stars last night. You know, both Gurianov's goal and then, gosh, who was the second goal?
Gurianov Foxa.
Foxa, that's right. Had the nice play where he outskated Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
And Foxa, I felt like, had a pretty nice game last night. You know, we raved about Austin Matthews, you can only do so much to stop him. You don't stop him, you try to contain him, right?
Foxa was on the ice about 20 minutes last night.
Yeah.
That's a lot of ice time.
From the, you know, first drop of the puck. You know, he was out there, and it was clear that the Stars really liked that matchup and wanted to keep Foxa out there with, you know, Matthews and company.
I think it's fair to say with this Stars team, we kind of have to, and I need to do it myself. I was disappointed that Gurianov was seeing time on the fourth line, but are they really the fourth line anymore? I
mean, right.
Are there really lines in? I mean, some teams are more traditional than others, but you know, that third line we know is the checking line. But other than that, I think it's mix and match.
Yeah, and on that third line is Andrew Cogliano, who played in his 1,000th game last night.
Yeah.
The same night that Robertson plays his first.
Terrific trade by Jim Neal. Got a guy that's great in the room in Cogliano. A guy that every once in a while will pick up a hustle goal, but does everything else right on the ice. you rarely see mistakes made by Andrew Cogliano.
He is the essence of just consistency. You know what you're going to get from him every time he's on the ice.
Yeah, plays really, really hard, especially for a guy his size. It is amazing that he hasn't missed more games in the NHL. I mean, he's a warrior. And like I said,
he broke the streak. Was that earlier this year? And it was like a huge deal to him. Yeah. He takes a lot of pride in the fact that he never misses.
Yeah, and prior to that was via suspension.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so he's done a real nice job in a star sweater.
All right, so what do you think? I heard you got some trade ideas for us.
I do, man.
Is that right?
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I'm looking at the trade and the trade deadline, which is fastly approaching. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay. Fast approaching, I should say. And my thing is like, is there enough people out there that you want to trade your prospects? And I wanted to look at, and this is the reason why, you know, when you break down the trade that happened earlier this week, February 10th. So the Penguins acquired Jason Zucker from the Wild.
Yeah.
So you always want to look what the haul was in return. So it's Alex Galchenyuk, a guy that we talked about, a prospect in Kalen Addison, and a first-round pick from 2020 or 2021. It's conditional. So when you look at Zucker, he only has 29 points this year, 14 goals, 15 assists. But the key factor is he has 3 years left on his contract.
Yeah.
So this is not a rental, therefore the haul becomes bigger. And then the week prior, we look at that Maple Leafs LA Kings deal where the Leafs got their backup goalie in Jack Campbell, who's playing real well for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Clifford comes from the LA Kings, and that came for Trevor Moore, a California kid. So he's going back home, a 2020 third round pick, and a 2021 third round pick. So I look at those trades and I'm like, wow. I felt as though that was a lot for Jason Zucker.
I did too.
I know, like, he's a good, solid player, does everything right. He's a top six guy.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think of difference makers, is he one of those difference makers? And I would say no. And especially, if you're the Wild, it's like, okay, I'm getting a first round pick back and I'm getting a guy that might turn into something in Alex Galchenyuk. Mm-hmm. He's still very young, he swapped a lot of teams. But, I mean, when he shows that he can be a player, it's impressive.
Right.
So I look at these hauls, and then I look at the people on the market and the pending UFAs, and I say, what about a Mike Hoffman from Florida? Well, Florida's still in the playoff race. Are they really going to do that? I just think, you know, the Stars don't have a lot of draft picks. They could give up their first-round draft pick, but is it worth it?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're telling me a guy that isn't in a lot of trade news, Blake Coleman, who's young, who has a year left on his contract, if you're telling me that's going to cost me a first round draft pick, I'd say yes.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree. But I just worry now because, you know, like we talked about, like draft picks have become so important and so valuable to all Absolutely. These franchises. And then you look at a guy like we just talked about, Denis Gurianov, who for a while was like, oh, look, they busted another pick. And now he's out there and, you know, he's really showing that what he can do. And he's helping this team, you know, in their playoff push and keep themselves in the playoff. I mean, they're a point, I believe, back of second place right now from the Avalanche.
Yeah.
And the Avalanche have a game in hand.
The only thing about Gurianov, and it's a good problem to have, is that he was so young and he was signed so young that now all of a sudden he's blossoming and bam, restricted free agent.
Yeah. Yeah, the timing isn't Rope great. Rope hits,
restricted free agent. How much am I paying these guys? Like if Gurianov keeps, he might be one of those guys that threatens a holdout.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to happen, but... I mean, you're looking at what some of these restricted free agents get, and now all of a sudden, does Gurianov want $4 to $6 million a year? And are you going to pay him that based on essentially three quarters of a season?
And that's where it's tough.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's tough. But I mean, it's been pretty consistent so far, you know, this three quarters of the season.
Terrific.
When he's given the opportunity.
I wish he played earlier.
Me too.
I really do. I mean, there might have been issues that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. I do know that there were times where he would disappear down in the AHL where it's like, whoa. And then there would be times he'd come out and score a hat trick or two goals. And,
right.
You know, I'd get the report back. Whoa, this guy's amazing.
So I remember you saying that, you know, you kind of heard that from different people in the AHL that watched him a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Did you get the sense that it was more because maybe he was uninterested or like maybe bored by the AHL? Or was it, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I wonder if maybe he was just a little bit like, dude, I should be at the NHL level.
I think he was still adapting to the way the North American game is played.
Okay.
You look at that first goal last night in Toronto, and yeah, he can, that one timer on the power play, but I'm more impressed by that first goal last night, how he got his stick in the forecheck, how he went in hard, and how he made the play, saw the seam, got the puck, and made a nifty move. That was more impressive to me because that was done from a forechecking perspective.
Yeah.
And he's also become a pretty good back checker with his speed, and he's keeping to his assignments in space. So I really like what he's doing in this. I think that's been his biggest improvement is the consistency defensively.
Yeah.
In the AHL, it would just be, you know, not scoring and just kind of, you know, skating around. There'd be times that he was really, really good and really good on both ends. You just didn't know what you were getting night after night. That's right. The report I got.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think at this point, the Stars, I mean, on a team that's already struggling to score like they are, I mean, I think you have to keep him, you know? If that number is six, I mean, I think that would be a little bit high.
I think that is going to be high.
Maybe like four?
Yeah, I'm looking at the 3 to 4 range.
That's what I was, like, somewhere in there, maybe try to get like a two, three-year deal or something. Because I don't know what he would want to sign, you know, if he'd want to go shorter to prove, you know, because we're talking about, you know, inconsistency.
Yeah.
If he'd want to try to prove it in a shorter window to then try to cash in on a longer deal after that.
And NHL players are starting to do that with their agents. They're going to the teams and they're saying, let's do a bridge contract.
Yeah.
Let's do a 2-year deal.
Kind of
a
prove it, longer deal.
Prove it. Darnell Nurse is talking with the Oilers right now about a bridge deal. Now, fans might say, oh my God, we got to do this in 2 more years. I get it. But the flip side is, they have the right to hold out.
Right.
They're still the property, but like a guy like Denis Gurianov, he can go back to the KHL and fit in perfect.
Yeah.
You know? But it takes a while to develop into the North American game. Some people do it faster. And he's just turned out to be an electric player for the Stars. I mean, I think he's a first-line player right now.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to see that Radulov-Ben Sagan line together.
Mm-hmm.
I want to separate them. I want to utilize Hintz speed. I want to utilize Gurianov. I like that, you know, when you have playmakers like that and compare him with a Jamie Benn. I think it's coincidence, but since Rick Bonus has taken over, Jamie Benn's been on a tear. Yeah. I really don't think it's like coaching or, but I'm just saying.
Maybe
like,
it's like stepping up, you know, with all that adversity.
Yeah, I think
like we
that's
talked about
it.
Last week that's or earlier
point.
This week. Yeah. Just like he's being a captain. Like, he's showing that he's the captain of this team. Like, there's no, you know, we can't see what's happening in the locker room, what he does behind the scenes, but on the ice, he is playing like that is his team.
Yeah, we criticize these guys based on their salary cap structure.
Mm-hmm.
When a Jamie Benn gets a contract like that, I mean, you talk to anybody and say, whoa, maybe that was overinflated based on that 1 year.
Yeah, Art Ross.
But now I'm looking at Jamie Benn and I'm saying, wow, Jamie Benn is still having some, you know, off nights. That's going to happen, but man, is he tough.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just the calmness, the non-excitement after goals that I just continue to love.
It's a real
weight around.
It's a real business approach.
Business, yeah.
He scores, there's no like crazy, like he's the anti-Radulov in terms of when he scores the goal and then the celebration that follows.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with celebrating like that, it's just two polar opposite reactions when they do put the puck in the net.
Yeah, absolutely. And one more thing I wanted to add about last night's game. So on the pregame skate, there was Ben Bishop had to call people back. So there's a little situation going. So you had Andrew Cogliano skating in his 1,000th game. You had Jason Robertson skating in his first NHL game. So you had two guys that would do the solo skate around before the rest of the team comes back on.
Yeah, so...
So he didn't. So Robertson did not get his solo skate.
Oh no!
Cogliano went around.
Yeah,
yeah. You got to give it up to the
veteran. Yeah,
you got to give it up to the vet.
You have to.
I mean, I think you know Robertson is so wide eyed right now.
I think it'd be funny if he like just snuck out there on the ice, like like without like once Cogliano got like halfway through and then just shared it with him.
Yeah, that was true. And smart play by Bonus playing Bishop, getting him back in net.
Yeah,
I think that was great. You're gonna have to play Hudobin in one of the next two anyway.
Right.
So. I mean, you know, why not throw Bishop up in? And now it'll be interesting. I think maybe Hudobin goes on Saturday night because he played for the Canadiens. No, he did not play for the Canadiens. I'm sorry. That's Antti Niemi.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like they'd probably go with Bishop again.
Bishop against Montreal and probably Hudobin against Ottawa. Yeah.
I mean, either way, I feel pretty good about the matchup. I mean, anytime they put either of those guys in, I feel good
from a
goaltending perspective.
Yeah, I do. I still think Bishop's better behind the net. I think he's a better puck handler. You know, I still think he's your guy, but man, Hudobin's making a good case.
And I think that they would want to keep, I think just for consistency and congruency, basically, you'd want him to start that first game because that'd be like if it were the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
And you want to keep him kind of in that groove.
Yeah.
And he can kind of build off a good game last night,
So we'll have a couple more shows before the trade deadline, and we'll dive even deeper in. But Shippy, I ask you, you know, after seeing Jason Robertson last night, after seeing Jake Ettinger down in Texas or that first round pick, I mean, how much are you initially willing to give? Or are you talking like a third or fourth round
and
try to get a loner?
I think I would try to go for, I would stay away from the bigger names in the market. I mean, they're going to have to do that anyways. Like guys like Chris Kreider, you're not going to be able to pay for him, first of all. But just in terms of if you're just considering the return and what the Dallas Stars would give up, I want to add some depth on the wing for like the third or fourth line that we just discussed, like what really is a third or fourth line, but just kind of more depth scoring. Like I really wish they could have gotten Galchenyuk. And putting him on like the fourth line, you know, and just kind of let him ease into things. But a player kind of that caliber who maybe has lost a little bit of value, maybe, but maybe has the potential and just needs, maybe he's in a bad situation, a losing culture, you know, and just having a bad season.
Yeah.
A little change of scenery coming to Dallas.
A good example of that is earlier in the year to basically start 2020. It was January 2nd, as a matter of fact, I can remember, right? Michael Frolik went from Calgary to Buffalo.
Yeah.
And Buffalo gave up a 2024th round pick.
Yeah.
That's... But not too much damage. You got a player that was pretty hot at the trade deadline, at one point and has struggled.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think
that's a good, that would be a good deal.
The only person that I would risk, you know, something of more value, of a significant more value would be for like a Blake Coleman, where you have another year, he's young, and he's like, that's the type of player that would fit. I mean, he would fit the Dallas Stars system so well. And we've talked about him like crazy, you know, on this podcast, but that would be the one guy that I would identify. And I think that would be the only realistic guy that the Dallas Stars could identify and be able to actually afford him. And make it work salary cap wise.
Yeah.
That would cost, you know, a premium price.
Right, right. Taylor Fadun sent down for a conditioning assignment. And just for those, you don't have to be injured to get sent down.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
You know, I think it's good for the Stars to get him some game action in Texas. But they do have a wealth of defensemen right now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe someone's looking for a fifth or sixth defenseman that they could spin. That's a little tougher to pull off. I know draft picks are coveted. You know, and I think teams that are looking for defensemen are looking for, you know, basically a top two or three defenseman.
Yeah.
So that might be tougher to pull off, but that's another angle that might happen. But how much are you going to get for a Secker or a Pollock? You're not going to get
much
at all.
Yeah.
No, not much. Haskinen or Klingberg?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You'd do pretty good.
Yeah, but then you're also depleting your defense pretty significantly.
Yeah.
You know, but so we'll let's
that's some serious wheeling into.
Gosh, right? Like, all right, Dallas Stars trade Tyler Seguin. You're like, what? He just scored finally. Real quick before we hit the Hockey Hawks top five, I put out a a tweet calling for some questions for a little quick mailbag. I want to hit this from at Laces Out Finkel. He called me. He told me just to call him Fink.
What up, Fink? Yeah.
On one of the previous podcasts, I totally butchered his, I guess, middle name. I don't know.
Yeah, good hockey guy, Fink.
Yeah. Yeah, but he said, love the podcast. Thank you for giving the sport of hockey more love in the DFW. If you could place another NHL franchise in Texas, where would it be and what would you name it? And he said, bonus, if it's in Houston, how would they find a way to cheat?
Well done.
Yeah. Astro shots are always welcome on Sweaters Forever.
I would place it in Houston.
Yeah.
And I would call it the Houston Arrows.
The Houston Arrows.
Yeah.
I like that.
The Houston Arrows have a longstanding history of hockey in the city of Houston. Mm-hmm. Gordie Howe played for the Houston Arrows. The Houston Arrows were part of the old IHL, and then the Houston Arrows became a part of the AHL. And I covered them when they were the minor league affiliate of the Minnesota Wild. So when I was there, a young goalie named Anton Hudobin was the goaltender. You had players like Marco Scandella. You had players like Charlie Coyle. So you had young guys like that. So the Arrows name has great history in the city of Houston. You'll still see Arrows gear every once in a while. So I would call it the Arrows. The other thing to keep in mind, which makes Houston appealing, is the Toyota Center is an NHL-ready facility.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Arrows played. So they have the ability with the Zamboni and the locker rooms and everything like that. So you can make that into an NHL facility. So I think that's another reason that makes Houston appealing.
See, I didn't think about all of that part. I just went with the Austin Aces.
Oh, that's good.
I really like the name the Aces for some reason. Yeah. I feel like a town like Austin would be very similar to a city like Austin would be real similar to the Nashvilles and those types of places because that would be their one professional team.
Right.
I mean, it's not the same with Nashville, but that would be their one professional team. I think they'd all rally around it like crazy, and the support would be, you know, really strong.
No, I agree.
And so I guess Vegas would be the best.
Yeah, Vegas. Know? Yeah.
That would be the best.
I was surprised Vegas. Yeah. I got to be careful. The Vegas Snake Eyes, I always thought was a great name.
Okay.
You know, and you have a snake coming out and with dice. Some people would say no because Snake Eyes throwing craps is bad luck.
Ooh, yeah.
And Austin, the Austin Weirdos would be cool because keep Austin weird.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I think
I wonder if Gary Bettman in the NHL would approve that.
I think that's the issue.
Right.
Like, you know, with Seattle being named pretty soon.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's like I want a cool name.
Right.
Like I'm sick of traditional
Golden Knights
names.
Was cool though.
Golden Knights is cool.
And it got a lot better when it first happened. I was a little bit underwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because that's where I thought it might be something like Aces, something like Vegas style. You know what I'm saying?
And right.
When it was Golden Knights, I was like, okay. And then I saw the first like picture of the uniform and everything. I was like, it kind of looks like the Senators jersey.
Yeah.
But it's grown on me. And like since then, once I see it in action, everything, and actually see it live, you know, they did a good job with it. So I feel pretty confident in what they're going to do in Seattle.
Like Seattle. Yeah, exactly. I always thought maybe you just go back to the Seattle Sonics. You'd have to get NBA permission. But how cool would that be with the green and yellow?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Those would be some sweet sweaters. So that would be my answer. Houston, because of its size, because of the ability with the arena, and Houston has shown in the past that they will support hockey. When the Arrows were in the Calder Cup finals, they were drawing 10,000 a game. So they will go out for quality hockey.
And we got one more from, we've kind of addressed this, but this is at Clint Heavy D. Clint Dickinson says, what do you think of the narrative that this incarnation of Stars hockey is boring due to their style of play and identity? He said he enjoys it, but he can see how the casual Stars fan may not. And I think he hits the nail on the head there. We've talked about it ad nauseum. It's a defensively focused team. You know, that's their bread and butter is, 1-0, 2-1, 3-2. You know, like those are the games that you're going to see them typically in, like just last night, 3-2, you know, though you're not going to see a whole lot. I mean, you'll see it every once in a while, a 6-goal game or something, but not super often. But I can understand how somebody who maybe hasn't followed hockey or who's trying to get into it may not enjoy it as much. I certainly understand that, but I mean, this is the type of hockey, and this is playoff hockey is what they play, basically.
Yeah. 2 points is 2 points.
Yeah, 2 points. Exactly. Exactly. It doesn't matter. It's like in the NBA. If you dunk it, if you lay it up, or if you hit, you know, just a real boring baseline jumper, it all counts.
I mean, if you win, I would say this. I would say the St. Louis Blues brand is not an exciting brand of hockey either.
Right.
The one that they played to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So, What's interesting to me is this defensive brand of hockey, when things tighten up in the playoffs, is that a style that actually can move you a couple of rounds?
I think so.
It might be. So that's what I'm interested to see.
And I think that's the reason I'm so scared of the Avalanche, is because I think that they are the one team that could play defensively well enough, but I'm not sure that the Stars be able to match their scoring.
Yes. And I had it as part of my Power Five, but I'll go early on this, Shippy.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a scouting report out on the Avalanche.
Okay.
So last night the Caps played in Denver at the Pepsi Center and really pushed the Avs around.
Uh-huh.
I think
you body them?
I think if you body that first line, they get frustrated.
I
get a little
that.
Chippy.
And that's kind of reminiscent of what would happen with the Stars
yes.
in those Lindy Ruff days.
Well, and the Stars earlier this year playing Colorado.
Yeah.
And Landeskog went off for some penalties. And, you know,
that Stephen Johns addition would be huge for
yeah.
a potential Avalanche match.
So I think getting a little rough and physical, which naturally will happen in the playoffs, I think that could slow them down.
All right. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm feeling better.
I still am. I do not want to play the Habs.
Right.
But after last night's game, I'm like, ooh, okay.
That's an interesting observation.
You know, now whether the Stars go with this game plan like the Capitals did.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's
surely Rick Bowness is watching that game. He's like, okay.
Yeah. And can the Stars do that physical type of play? Do they have the guys? And, you know, that's what Corey Perry will be.
Yeah.
You know, Jamie Benn, Stephen Johns, Jamie Oleksiak. So, yeah, I
even
would
guys
say
like Jason Dickinson throws his weight around,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. They're definitely not afraid to, you know, get a little physical.
One more thing before we go to the top five.
What's up?
Bruce Boudreau let go by the Minnesota Wild.
What in the world? Like,
so, okay.
It's like the worst time to be a star or an NHL head coach.
Yeah. In the last 11 games, the Wild are 7-3-1.
They just played the Avalanche really well the other night. They lost by one goal.
So they were up big against the Rangers last night. The Rangers came storming back and won the game. And I think
that was it.
Yeah. Bill Guerin, former Dallas Star, was like, that's it. You know?
Yeah. It's ever since the Blues won the Stanley Cup last year. Now teams are like, all right, you know, we've been great in our last 10, but you just blew that lead.
Right.
Sorry, man, you're out.
So now we have Mike Modano working for the Minnesota Wild. We have Bill Guerin, the general manager, former Dallas Star. The new Minnesota Wild interim coach is Dean Evason, who was a former Dallas Star as well. So a lot of Dallas familiarity coming into play. So Boudreau was 158, 110, and 35 in four seasons. That's pretty good. I mean, I know they couldn't get to that next level, and Guerin was saying, well, it wasn't all at all. We should have won the game, but this was a long time coming. I just look at Boudreau as a vet coach. There are going to be some really good NHL coaches out there in the offseason. So the other thing is, we talk about pulling the trigger and how the NHL teams, they really don't have a lot of options. You can call a couple of guys up, but you're limited in who you can send down. You can change the goalie, and that might create some momentum. But the other thing is changing coach. This is the eighth change in the NHL this season. Eight
That's
changes.
That's insane.
That is insane.
We've never seen this before.
No.
Ever.
No.
You don't even see eight coaches get fired in the offseason.
Yeah.
Like, typically you'll see like three or four maybe,
yeah.
right? Like,
no, you're right.
Wow.
So Gallant out with the Knights. We have...
Even if you take out Monty, like seven is a lot.
Yeah. Peter DeBoer who
that's right.
Fired by the Sharks, now hired in Nashville because Peter Laviolette got the axe.
Mike Babcock was Sligo.
Yep, absolutely. Rick Bonus took over for Jim Montgomery. Mike Babcock, Hines in New Jersey.
Crazy.
There's just a lot of names that are now free in NHL circles. So just wanted to get that in. You know, and a guy that a couple articles wrote that was on the hot seat is the Winnipeg head coach, who just signed for another 3 years, who I think is a really, really good NHL coach. So Winnipeg solidified once again. You know, they're a small market team. They need to keep their core.
All right, what do you say we head over to the Hockey Hawks top five NHL power rankings?
Let's do it.
Let's go. All right, so I've got ESPN pulled up over here. And as we do every single week, we'll let you, the Hockey Hawk, Gavin Spittles, go ahead and start with your number one team in the NHL.
Number one, Shippy, Tampa Bay Lightning. 9 straight wins. They are St. Louis Blues 2.0.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, St. Louis kickstarted after the new year. Lightning got an earlier start. But they're just 1 point now behind the Bruins for first place in the Atlantic. In December, they were 15 points outside of Boston.
How much better does that Stars win look now?
Huge.
Like, coming right out of the break, beating them?
Like, unreal. Wow. Yeah.
Like, that, if this was like college and there's a strength of schedule, that boosts the Stars' strength of schedule big time. So ESPN's got them as number one as well.
Okay.
Over here. And, that's a team that maybe they learned from last year, you know, with the Islanders.
I think so.
And I think they learned a lot and, you know, maybe they're going to peak at the right time rather than go on this crazy run through the whole regular season and kind of tail off towards the end going into the playoffs.
And
it certainly seems like it's full steam ahead towards the playoffs.
And they picked up Patrick Maroon, remember?
Yeah.
Start the season, got him on the cheap.
What a great acquisition.
That's a guy that just has been there and talked to the room.
Game-winning goal last year.
Yeah, comes up big. Game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup. Game-winning goal against the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, what a jerk.
Take that, analytics.
Right. Who do you have at number two here?
I have the Bruins.
That's who ESPN has.
The Bruins are a real solid team. 8-2 in their last 10. David Pastrnak the other night against Montreal with a hat trick. He now has 41 goals, 40 assists. Oh, my goodness.
I feel like that's more points than like the Stars have as a team.
I just want to know. I need to talk to some scouts to see what they didn't see in David Pastrnak for him to get drafted lower in the first round. What did they
There's
not
There's so
see?
Many people who missed on it.
Was it a size? The Bruins scooped him up, and man, do they have a good one.
All right, who do you have at number three?
I have the Washington Capitals.
Wow, ESPN's copying you, man.
Okay. Does ESPN have something about their big win in Colorado last night?
No, so actually ESPN for their power rankings, with each team they listed their worst trade ever made. And the Tampa Bay Lightning at number one was the Lightning trading Brad Richards and Johan Holmquist to the Stars for Mike Smith, Jussi Jokinen, Jeff Halpern, and Dallas's fourth round pick that they later traded to Minnesota.
Yeah.
It was traded to Edmonton, and Edmonton selected Kyle Bigos.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say Washington probably would be the Philip Forsberg trade.
Let's see here. Washington. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for Martin Erat.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And Michael Latta.
Yeah.
Yikes. Oh, gosh. Can you imagine them with Philip Forsberg, too?
Oh, man. Oh,
it's
man.
It's like they wouldn't even need Nicholas Backstrom. It's like they're like so similar to how they play.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Caps have the most road wins in the NHL, I think, which is impressive. Ovechkin still hasn't scored that 700th. I think he'll get there. They just look really, really good. They've won 4 straight on the road. They're just an impressive team. They can get physical and they can score. They just have a really good combo. If they face off against the Lightning in the playoffs, I am locked in on that series.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just wow. This year's playoffs are going to be must watch.
Yeah. I mean, every year, the NHL, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a big hockey fan, they're always the best playoffs.
Yeah, they are.
They are always the best. And I love, inevitably, every time around whenever the NHL playoffs start, you'll see all these people who normally, you know, report on football or basketball or whatever. And they flip a game on and they're like, holy crap, this is really exciting.
Right. And I think, you know, from the one thing that makes football special and baseball for that same matter is, you know, you're basically dealing with one game.
Right.
Maybe two games. You know, when the NHL first round starts, I'm like, okay, NBC, NBC
it's
Sports,
like all
CNBC.
Day.
It's like, yeah.
I'm like, wait, what channel is CNBC?
Yeah, exactly.
Again?
And I'm like, I cannot
wait. I got to find the USA channel.
Right. So I'm taping all these games trying to get through them. But, you know, those opening series. But once you get to the conference finals, it's, boy, it's fun hockey.
All right. Who do you have at number four?
I have the Colorado Avalanche. Even though they lost last night, they've just continued to be a strong team. I think they're a contender. I am scared to play them. And as I mentioned, I think the Stars have to get physical against them. But yeah, they're kind of hitting on all cylinders. Not only do they have the best line in hockey, but they also have a terrific offensive defenseman in Cale Makar, who's got a lot of years ahead of him.
Yeah.
So. I think Colorado. I don't want to play Colorado.
No, but dang it, you just convinced me a second ago.
I know.
That felt great.
I don't know where to go. But you know what? I mean, honestly, it should be. I don't know who I want to play in the top eight. They're all good.
That's the worst. Like, the worst thing you can do as a hockey fan is pick a team that you want to play.
Yeah.
Because you're going to lose. Like, I guarantee you last year, Lightning fans were like, oh, yeah, we got the Islanders. All right.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have John Tavares anymore. We're fine.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
Tampa, Columbus.
They just beat you. Yeah. Exactly. Let's see here. At number four on ESPN, they have the Pittsburgh Penguins, who in 1996, on March 20th, traded Marcus Naslin to the Canucks for forward Alex Stoyanov.
Oof.
I don't remember that guy playing. I certainly remember watching Marcus Naslin in a Canucks sweater a lot.
Wow. That's pre-Jim Rutherford.
Yeah, that's real bad. Who do you have at number five?
I have the Blues. They're still in first, and they're holding on. And the Jay Bouwmeester thing earlier this week was a huge testament to the medical staff in Anaheim. He just had surgery, and he's doing better, and he's still in Anaheim. So the question is, how does that affect the Blues from a mindset? It can inspire them. Or it can be an emotional tailspin. They lost
last
night.
That was a scary scene.
Awful.
And I like, as soon as I saw it on Twitter, as a Stars fan, obviously, it just immediately makes you think about Rich Peverly.
Yeah.
And I was at that game when that happened.
I was too, yeah.
And just like...
Colorado Avalanche. Columbus Blue Jackets.
Blue Jackets. Just like the silence that hit afterwards as people were trying to figure out what was going on. I mean, it was like chilling, like... It was really, really scary. Like, I'll never forget, you know, being there and witnessing all that.
Amazing technology that they can get those paddles out so quick. And
seriously.
Yeah.
And props to all the guys. I don't remember who was sitting right next to him, but Pietrangelo was right there at the bench, and they were all just screaming at the top of their lungs for the medical staff to get over there. So.
That's not the first time that the medical staff has saved someone, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's amazing.
Yeah.
It just becomes second nature. And
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great player. You know, I think right now all we think of is him and his family and not his playing career.
Yeah,
he's had
right.
an amazing career.
Right. Even if he never plays
again. Even if he never plays again.
Just like Rich Peverly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
won a Stanley Cup.
Exactly. It's like, at that point, it's so much bigger, obviously, than the game of hockey.
Right. So I did want to bring something up about the St. Louis Blues.
Real quick. Number five is the Avalanche.
Okay.
And by the way, Stoyanov, he played 45 games with the Penguins and scored 2 goals and 4 assists.
Mm.
Naslin played 884 games with the Canucks, scoring 346 goals and 410 assists.
Wow.
So
who's the worst trade for St. Louis?
For St. Louis, it is them trading Yaroslav Halak, Chris Stewart, and William Carrier in their first-round pick, and a 2016 third-rounder, for Ryan Miller and Steve Ott. They gave up a lot. I forgot they gave all that up for him.
Yeah. They also traded Ben Bishop.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
I wonder if that's in their top five. I mean, I don't think they have top fives, but I bet that's...
Miller went 10-8-1 with a .903 save percentage with the Blues. I remember he was horrible when he got there.
Yeah.
I think they... Were they playing, was that Brian Elliott at the time that they were kind of going back and forth between the two of them?
Yeah. Yeah, Ryan Miller might have been one of the answers. But it did vault Steve Ott into the St. Louis organization, so.
Yeah, right. They got him as a coach.
Yeah, they got him as a
as an assistant coach.
Okay, the St. Louis Blues have an interesting situation that I think we all need to look at.
Uh-huh.
So Vladimir Tarasenko has actually been pushed back in his return. It was expected initially to be about 5 months. Now we're looking at 6 months. So that puts him in late April returning, if it's on schedule. So estimating about first round game 5, 6, or 7 returning. And that's if he stays on schedule.
That's
so coming up on the NHL trade deadline, St. Louis has a choice. They can put him on long-term IR, which will cancel him out for the season, but then they do receive salary cap allocation in which they can get a top six forward. So my question to you, Shippy, if you're Doug Armstrong in the St. Louis Blues, do you take a risk and lose Tarasenko for the season, but I'm able to go out and get someone, I am going to lose prospects, or do I try to survive that first round? I mean, heck, they're in first place. David Perron's been on fire.
Yeah.
If I get past the first round, all signs point to Vladimir Tarasenko joins the team.
Honestly, for me, I look at Vladimir Tarasenko and consider his long-term health. And if there's any, like risk of this injury lasting forever or bothering him for the rest of his career, or if you're worried about rushing him back, I would put him on the IR. You just won the Stanley Cup. Your team is still crushing it without him. And you can go get another top six forward. Maybe a guy like Chris Kreider, you know? Go pick up somebody like that with that extra salary cap space. I'd go pick somebody up and then, you know, bring Tarasenko back next season off a fresh start. Now, if he's going to be completely healthy, I think I might still do that.
So you want to sit Tarasenko?
I mean, maybe that's just the stars,
yeah,
and me just being like, "Yeah, sit him. You don't need him."
It's a really interesting.
You just don't
situation.
Want to sacrifice his career,
yeah,
for one playoff run,
yeah.
You know, because they're going to be back next year. Like they're going to be good for a while.
Yeah, I guess that's what the
what
medical staff. I think I would take a chance that Tarasenko comes back, because I have not seen anyone minus a Kreider that really is going to take me over the top.
Right. And I guess worst case scenario, if you don't put him on IR and you get to the playoffs and either you get bounced in fewer games than he's able to return, like you don't give up any prospects and all that stuff either.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you're still in good shape. And then you basically get a trade deadline acquisition in the playoffs.
And we also don't know who will become sellers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to happen in the next week. Is Montreal become a selling team? Ottawa is going to be a selling team.
Right.
But they've shown a lot of improvement. Who do they want to give away?
Mm-hmm.
Probably a few of their UFAs to try to bring some prospects in or draft picks. But they're very limited as far as how many teams are in the NHL are sellers right now, because it's so bunched up.
All right, so we do this every week where you guess where the Dallas Stars land on this list. I'd like you to guess where they land and then also try to guess what ESPN has listed as their worst trade in franchise history.
I'm going to put them at 9th.
They're 10.
Oh.
They're 10. They have, let's see here. They got the Flyers at 9.
Okay. The worst trade in Dallas Stars history. Got it.
Uh-huh.
It's mine. Matt Niskanen,
yep,
and James Neal to the Pittsburgh Penguins,
yep,
for Alex Goligoski.
Gosh. Horrible.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
And I remember I'll never forget where I was when I read it. Like, yeah, I was on a bus in Columbia, Missouri on my way back from the campus to my apartment from like a late class that I had. And I sat there and I looked at I looked at Twitter and it said that, and I was like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah.
I was like, Niskanen and James Neal for Goligoski, and I'd seen Goligoski play.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I just saw some bad games. like what in the hell? And it was, at the time, it was salary cap related was why they were making the trade.
Yeah, and they were looking for a puck-moving defense.
Yeah.
And Niskanen was struggling.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was his second year. Like, I don't think they gave him a proper
didn't give
chance.
Him a chance. Yeah, and we say, you know, defensemen sometimes take a little bit longer to develop.
He's had a heck of an NHL career. And deal, James Neal is just like guaranteed 20 goals, James Neal.
So. Unless he plays for the Flames.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like a totally different, he's not so real deal. But
I'm trying to think of some others, like more recent ones that I didn't like the Brendan Dillon trade. I thought Demers played well here, but I just didn't like the Brendan Dillon trade.
Yeah.
Big men take longer to develop. I didn't like the Oleksiak trade. I like getting Oleksiak back, so I did like that trade.
Yeah, right. It undid the trade that they already made.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, that's the fact. I mean, trades are fascinating because it's a roll of the dice, and we all talk about the bad trades, but we don't talk about Jim Nill acquiring Ben Bishop. We don't talk about, you know, some of the other trades that have gone well for the Stars that just kind of get minimized. I mean, they made some really good moves last year, getting Lovejoy, getting Cogliano, getting Zuccarello.
Yeah.
That really bolstered that team. I mean, they were one goal away from advancing. So.
They're way better at trade deadline stuff than off-season free agent signings.
Yeah.
We'll save that for another podcast.
That's an off-season sweaters forever.
Yeah, we'll save that.
I just go down a draft pick and UFA list that is just going to make
hopefully
everyone. That'll be the miserable edition of sweaters forever.
Hopefully that's after they win the Stanley Cup, so it doesn't make it as bad. By the way, one last note on that horrible Dallas Stars trade. Alex Goligoski blocked me on Twitter for some reason.
Really?
I have no idea why. I mean, I was kind of critical of him. Without even adding him on Twitter, and I guess he searches his name because I tried to somebody sent me a tweet from him and it was not available, and I was like, what? I didn't even know he had a Twitter, and then I clicked on it. It was you've been blocked from Alex Goligoski.
Wow.
And I think I said something to the effect of it was coming up on when he was going to be a free agent and all that stuff. I'm like, well, if you want another deal in Dallas, he's gonna have to work on the way that he's moving the puck and not turning the puck over all the time. I think I've tweeted about him three times in my life.
Yeah.
But one of them got me blocked. So
yeah.
That's I know everybody's got somebody on Twitter that's blocked him and they have no idea why. I know a lot of people have Ben Roethlisberger as that person. Because I know he is another person who loves to search his name and then block you if you don't like what you said about him. But yeah. Alex Goligoski.
Are you still blocked?
Let me check. I'm not sure.
This could be breaking news, everyone.
I don't think that he would unblock me, but I'm going to look right now. Let's see here. Alex Goligoski. I don't even see
it. You're tied in, man. You can get it unblocked.
I don't even see his name. Everybody tweet Alex Goligoski and just ask him why he blocked me. Because I really, I got to do my job. I can't just say good things about everybody.
This is the great thing about Shippy. When he asks for questions for Sweaters Forever, I love the @Oprah.
Yeah, she didn't ask a question. I guess she's not a hockey fan.
Yeah.
So we'll try next week with some more big name guests and potential question askers on Twitter.
Ryan,
Kimmel didn't get back to me either.
Yeah, and we're going to try to get in a couple of weeks now. We'll try to expand this so you guys get more hockey. We'll do them in shorter, though this one's going a little bit long because we had a lot to talk about. But big weekend, Shippy, Montreal, Ottawa. Let's do this. We got Arizona coming in next week.
Yep.
So, and then we got the Blues followed by Chicago. So it's a good run. And, I'm excited. This is the time of year when you start rubbing your hands together and say, are we going to make a big trade? Are we going to, we're just going to stay? We're seeing some good prospects come up, so it's a lot of fun.
All right. Yep. Oh, I just found Goligoski's Twitter account. I am still blocked.
Oh, my goodness.
You're blocked, and he's got a weird picture of his dog as his avatar.
Wow.
That makes sense.
That is not a good Valentine's present.
Yeah, right? What the hell? All right. Well, thank you guys for checking into the Sweaters Forever podcast, especially Alex Goligoski. I know he listens to this all the time. Sweaters Forever podcast is brought to you by Choctaw Casino and Resort. Welcome to Choctaw Casino and Resort Durant, the ultimate destination for exciting gaming and live entertainment exclusively for everyone. All right, Gavin, another fun one. I appreciate everybody out there who, is subscribing, is telling their people about the Sweaters Forever podcast. DW Shabbing at Dub Into Tub, he tweeted me yesterday, said, hey, at Shippy Fun Sports, I told my sister at Not Too Shabby 22 about your podcast, and she's a huge Dallas Stars fan, and she is now hooked.
What up, Not Too Shabby?
Yeah, appreciate you, and appreciate everybody else out there rating us, subscribing, and, all that good stuff. Spread the word so that we can spread the great game of hockey, across the whole country and the globe.
I had two people come up to me this week at the Carolina game and said, hey, man, thanks for recommending this game. And nice. I listened to the Sweaters Forever podcast.
Hell yeah.
Well, so I was like, yeah.
Those are our kind of people. Yep. So appreciate all the love and support. We do this for you guys and for Choctaw. Until next week, we will talk to you later. We love you. Oh,
oh, oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.